Now I think it's the right time to start. We'll have a little status on Samba 4, as I read. And yes, thank you.
So it seems that the vote was against the course in advanced typesetting in tech. I'm sure Yoma would be very pleased to. But more seriously,
Andrew,
we are.
Sorry, is your microphone on?
Yeah, it's on, just not close enough. That better? Yeah. Now we'll be getting that nice booming effect. Yeah, that's gone really nicely. Damn it. I hope you were actually expecting a presentation on Samba 4. This is our annual discussion of the piece of vaporware that we all seem to be spending so much time actually producing. We are actually very far along with Samba 4, and so we would like to be able to teach you a little bit about where Samba 4 is going, what we've achieved so far in the last year since we last talked, and a bit of discussion of, as we move further along, perhaps to things like a beta release. We've recently been making Samba 3, Alpha 3 release, announced to no fanfare whatsoever. I suspect a conspiracy. Every time I sent an announcement email, it disappeared. Eventually, I got my good colleague here to bounce it, to forward it for me, and it worked. Don't know, but either way, a few weeks ago, we actually released Samba 3, Alpha 3, and this basically included some key features such as the Python provisioning script. We've abandoned our previous scripting language of JavaScript for Python, a number of other improvements, but it's disappeared out into the ether, and we're hoping that users will keep using that until we make our next release. Our alpha releases are more than just the technology previews that we were talking about at the last conference. We set down a set of guidelines for what would be in an alpha release of Samba a few conferences ago, and we met those guidelines. So it was time to change the name, and it was time to start asking for real feedback from users saying, this is more than just a, oh, look, shiny code. This is something that we actually expect people can make work. Not that you want to deploy it onto your production network at this point, not that I suspect it will crash, just that it won't do everything you want. But we need to find out from here on what is stopping you using these alphas and what would stop you using a beta if we were to rename it to be a beta tomorrow. The basic features are complete. We can be a domain controller and it does work. Kerberos works. Normal net logon works. I didn't get around to test this for ages, but David Holder was telling me this morning that Samba 3.2 joins the Samba 4 domain quite happily. Even using IPv6, his pet hobby horse. So we think that it is actually usable in some environments. But just because we say it's usable doesn't mean it actually is. So the theme you'll be hearing over and over in this presentation is that we would like people to try it and to tell us why they can't use it. We are starting to see more developer input from people who are not in the Samba team and we have not yet coerced onto the Samba team. Andrew Kroger, in particular, has picked up an effort, and I've noticed also the bug reports from our colleagues here, Mathias. I can't pronounce your name the slightest.
Matthias.
Appeared on our Bugzilla and kept filling it up. Much appreciated. But we are starting to get a bit more of that input, and that's what we need to be able to produce Samba, push Samba 4 forward. The other thing that we've got is some better development resources. Stefan Metzmacher wrote a great thesis about Samba 4 development and did a lot of the replication work for his thesis. And he published it. It was an excellent thesis in German. Now, in this room, that probably works. I couldn't read a thing. So we went out and we paid some professional translators to translate it. And it does actually form a very useful document describing particularly how the Samba 4 fits together and some of the basics of the replication stuff. So that was one of the new resources that we have in the last sort of month. We think the Python is better. Yoma can perhaps explain the best benefits of Python.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've moved from the embedded JavaScript that we were using previously to now using Python internally, which is actually a standardized language. And that should hopefully make it easier for outside contributors to contribute code to Samba without having to learn C or the custom JavaScript that we were using earlier. And we've simplified the Samba build system, which was previously a bunch of Perl scripts, which read a custom file format and then generate a 30,000 line makefile. And if you're a contributor and you first have to learn the new custom language for specifying the programs that you want to build inside of Samba, and then you hit a bug in the Perl scripts, you have to debug this 30,000 line makefile, you get scared away. So now we switch to GNU Make, rather than relying on the various Make implementations that are available on different Unixes. So if you have a BSD Make or maybe an old IIX Make, you will have to install GNU Make. But apparently that's already available on most platforms. The documentation that Microsoft has made available should also make it a lot easier for us to work on these protocols without spending weeks and weeks trying to figure out the different protocols. So that should really help speed up development. And we've also switched to Git in the last year. Previously we were working in Subversion. Git is distributed. It's a distributed version control system. So it should make it a lot easier for external contributors to just work on a lot of changes and then ask us to merge in their changes rather than work on a large set of changes against Subversion and send patches to us. It's really helped us, even if Andrew had his doubts. But it's worked out quite nicely. We've got now, I think, well, at least four or five external people who have contributed code to Samba 4 in key areas, actually, not just one or two line patches. Last year, we talked about code coverage a little bit. It's actually gone down in percentage this year, but we've also got a lot more lines. This is partially caused by the fact that we now have auto-generated Python bindings, which have a lot of craft in them. And we still kept the JavaScript stuff, and that wasn't tested very well. So hopefully we can get this down in the future.
So a lot of the work in the last year has actually been on the LDB subsystem. This is our internal database. And when I started on Samba 4, I never imagined that a lot of the work would actually be writing the wrappers around this database rather than other esoteric protocol details. But for example, details such as linked attributes, where you have member and member of, and they're linked together, the two only exist with each other. Subtree renames, very simple. You know, you have a tree in LDAP and you change the top of it from being CN equals Microsoft to CN equals, you know, the devil. And you know, it's all got to change. So, where's our Microsoft people in the room? You're not that evil most of the time. But seriously, when things change at the top of the tree, everything has got to change. And there's just, these details had to be implemented. Ambiguous name resolution is one of these little horrors in Active Directory that I'll be talking about in my next presentation. But all of these were modules that had to be written that don't exist as sort of normal LDAP things, and that we have to implement if we're going to be any serious contender for looking like Active Directory. We got group policy working in the last year, although I have a series of bug reports telling me that I'm just seeing things and that it's complete fantasy. I do need to try this again, but we understand how group policy should work and we need to continue testing that. Part of our problem is a lack of test suite for that area. We are now starting to adhere to the schema that we load into our database. So rather than just having a schema which is for other people to see, we're instead going through and when you add an attribute to our database, we check, is it in the schema? If you're trying to add an object class, only object classes that are listed in the schema may be added, rather than just being these are free-form text fields that happen to have a meaning normally. Likewise, we're doing simple things like checking that whenever you add an entry to the directory, it has a parent entry. These are required for a consistent directory, but weren't in LDB, because LDB started out being very lightweight. All these extra things was extra cruft that you didn't need, and you don't need for some applications. We do for being an Active Directory server. We now always use the replication metadata module that Metz wrote for his AD thesis, so that we're now running through that code all the time, rather than just when we're playing with in bringing in replicated data. This will be critical for then also replicating data back out and handling incremental replication. So that also helps us test that code and ensure that things don't keep breaking. I've also been working for the last age, and certainly over the last year, on our LDAP backend. I gave an attempted demonstration of this last year. If I recall, my laptop blew up on me, but we've done some more work on this to have auto-configuration. I hate giving a wiki. I was writing up a wiki page with them going, if I'm going to do this once, I'm going to document it. And by the time I had this long series of steps, do this, 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 I thought, come on. No one else is going to manage to reproduce this correctly. So instead what we have is scripts. There's now one line script. You put in a few options, but it does everything. It will spit out the configuration for Fedora Directory Server or for OpenLDAP. So this has allowed other people to implement the LDAP backend and say, yeah, it seems to work, even if I don't actually quite trust it yet. So including, there are config options you need to specify, particularly for OpenLDAP. One of the interesting things that's occurred through doing this work is that we end up with a full schema validation from the OpenLDAP server. So even though we're not fully there inside Samba 4, OpenLDAP is looking over our shoulder and saying, sorry, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it makes me also then go forward and implement those same checks inside Samba. We've also done some improvements in the areas of security. We have brought in a new release of the Heimdall Kerberos library that we have in the system, and we've extended the Kludge ACL implementation. I would have preferred to remove it and replace it with a real ACL, but at least now we stop people writing all over the registry with anonymous access. So as far as I know, Samba 4 is sort of secure for these things. The regression work is, for some reason there has been a problem with GNU TLS on Fedora 9, which is my primary development platform, and so we actually can't run with the SSL on that platform due to a very odd interaction.
Right, so in Samba 4 we introduced a new version of SWT, I think 2 years ago, something like that, maybe three, which was supposed to be the new version of SWT rather than just a simple web-based editor which allowed you to set all of the different parameters but which didn't actually give you any structure. The aim was to actually provide a very user-friendly interface to allow you to configure Samba. We had an Ajax interface and SWT was written in JavaScript. But we've decided to remove the Ajax interface and we've disabled SWT for now because we switched to Python from EJS. And there were no tests for SWT, so it would regress because of all the changes going on inside of Samba. And since we now need to rewrite SWT in Python, or at least it would be nice if it would be rewritten in Python, we've disabled the JavaScript-based SWT because it simply didn't work. There's actually a Summer of Code student who may be working on it this summer. That would be very nice. And one of the things we may consider is splitting SWT off as a separate project because the Samba 4 team is really small and we simply don't have the resources at the moment to work on something like this. Once again, we've reworked the build system, as I mentioned earlier. We now rely on GNUmake, and it should be very easy for outside contributors to work on this sort of thing. It should also make it easier to share code with Samba 4, or sorry, Samba 3, at least the make fragments. Whereas currently we have, for example, LDB and TDB and Telog, the various libraries that Samba 3 and Samba 4 have in common, and which can also be installed standalone. They've got there are three different places where the modules and the objects that are compiled into those libraries are defined. So this should make it a little bit easier to share that sort of code. As I mentioned, JavaScript is now replaced by Python, for most things at least. Python is therefore a build dependency. I think that's the first actual build dependency of Samba on something other than libc.
And a bit of Perl, but...
Yes, well, We also require Python at runtime, not the development headers and things like that, but the actual Python binary. But it should be very easy to build Python even on Exotic platforms and various different Unixes. Python just depends on libc, and that's it. And it should be available on at least as much platforms as SAMBase.
Yes, we were pleasantly surprised when we looked at how portable Python was as a dependency.
So we switched to Python for several reasons. It comes with all of the batteries included. It's a very common scripting language, and it actually has things like HTTP support built in a very simple, I think 200 line module. For example, there are bindings for most toolkits for Python, so GTK+, Qt, all have Python bindings, so that should allow us to actually focus on implementing Samba rather than creating bindings in, for example, the JavaScript stuff for all of those libraries. And there are existing users out there, so hopefully there are more people who can contribute to Samba who already know Python.
One of the things that convinced me of moving to Python, these GTK bindings, was that Yoma produced a small, what was it, registry editor or something?
No, it was an LDB browser in Python and GTK in, I think, about 50 lines or something.
I never actually looked at the script, but I was always assured there was this tiny fragment. I thought, if it's that powerful, then why are we wasting time on other things?
One of the other things that really helped with Python is that there's actually a debugger or code coverage analysis tools that you can use, whereas with the JavaScript stuff, you would often have to look into the source codes and try and figure out what was going on, or run GDB or something. So this should make it a lot easier.
Another big area moving forward with group policy and the Microsoft Management Console, particularly Active Directory users and computers. Very impressed to see earlier the demo from Likewise Software of their things. But before knowing about these, we'd assumed that admins would probably end up using Microsoft's tools to look at a Samba 4 server. And so it's been a goal to be able to support these tools. So Active Directory users and computers does work. You can basically do most of the things in that tool. And you can apply group policies from Microsoft's standard client administration tools. At least I've managed to hide the recycle bin. This has been something that's taken quite a bit of time. I don't believe we had this working last time we talked. And this brings us a lot closer to being able to say that we really have something that people can deploy into production networks. We've released the Samba 4 Alpha 3, as we mentioned at the start of the presentation. Yoma has this idea that we might make another alpha release when we're working together on Samba 4 next week. If Simo manages to drop his LDB changes in and a few other things come together, then it might happen, but I'm suspecting otherwise. Probably in another month or so, we'll get another alpha release out. But this does bring us to what a beta release might be. And our plan, we were asked in one of the early keynotes, when are you going to release Samba 4? And I said end of the year. And I actually did mean it. I honestly think we can shoot for a beta release at the end of this year. Whether we get you or not will depend on the support we get, but that really is an aim that we're really going to take fairly seriously, because we don't see that many things between where we are now and what we need to be a beta release with these features. We want to be an Active Directory domain controller. We want to have inbound real-time replication. So we want to be able to receive and be a caching Active Directory server, even if we don't allow people to write to our server, so that we can perhaps be a little bit cautious about what we're putting into a corporate Active Directory environment, because I'd just be a little bit worried about what that might entail. Just as a file server, because I'm hoping to see efforts go with Samba 4, again, clustering work, and things go useful places there, then the file server that has been sitting unused in Samba 4 for so many years may finally see the light of day, and a domain member server. So I'm spending a lot of time at the moment working on improving WinBind and making it useful. It is not at the stage where it looks like Samba 3's WinBind with all those features, but I don't believe it will be that hard to get it up to the stage where it is useful as a member server. But this list does need to be extended. It needs to be far more detailed than this, and we need your feedback. We need you to try Samba 4 in your production, pre-production environments. We need to see what would it take for you to be able to go to your boss and say, well, look, I think we really can do this. And I need that list in order of the biggest things that are blockers and the things that are just little, you know, annoyances, but you could get away with. When we get that list and we can prepare a much more detailed list of things that we have to do over the next sort of 9 months to be able to do a Samba 4 beta release. And it's that feedback that we've got so far that has driven Samba this far, which is why I'm so concerned to try and encourage more feedback as we go forward. We really, really need to be told what doesn't work rather than just what are sort of a list of features. There's so much of Samba 4 that it's not just we think that these things work. We need to know, and we've got tests for a lot of it, but we need to know how it actually behaves in production environments. Want to talk about testing?
So one of the key things that Samba 4 does that Samba 3 doesn't get is it tries to test really every part of the system. We have a make test, which tries and tests every single feature that we have. And we're now working on trying and testing automatically against various different versions of Windows by running Windows inside of virtualization as part of our test suite. We also need to start and testing with Samba 3. We should be able to automate that somehow.
Mm. The Unix and Mac OS clients are an important area that we need to get some more testing, and those particularly we need help from the community with. I don't have a dozen variants of Unix in a loft, although I do know someone who does. But we just need some help with testing those things, and we should be working with Likewise and Centrify and companies like that to try and check those bits of software. Plugfest are great for these kind of things, but these are areas where feedback from the community, people who are using and understand these bits of software, would be very useful. Another area of testing that we found out recently, just simply because some of our alpha users had persevered with Samba 4 long enough to actually find that there was a built-in 30-day password expiry. And that wasn't intentional. And we this perseverance in testing was incredibly useful because it allowed us to see, okay, that was wrong, and we were able to fix those bugs.
Automated testing can find an awful lot of things, but we will always need the manual stuff as well. It's really, really useful to have this feedback. And please also file bugs if you try out Samba 4 and you find a few hiccups, even missing documentation, for example, because we don't have an awful lot of that yet. We have a very simple how-to. Come and talk to us on RC. There's usually people around who can just help out with installations and things like that.
The Bugzilla has become increasingly important to Samba 4's test regime. I found it very useful for keeping track of things, and in particular uploading capture files and things of problems that are going. And the Samba technical list is the place to ask your Samba 4 questions while we're in this alpha and coming up to beta period. I look at the Samba mailing list, but not very often. So if you have questions about how to use Samba 4, things that aren't working, it is appropriate and on topic for the Samba technical mailing list. Both of us will be here until Saturday. We'd like to talk with you in the breaks, and we'd also like to throw open the floor to questions now about your questions about Samba 4. Have you got a second mic, or did it wander off again? Okay.
Andrew, assuming that Likewise go ahead and release some of their admin stuff, does that make a difference to your comments about SWAT?
It means that there's less need for SWAT as the free software administration tool if we can just leverage the work that someone else has done. And it's amazing seeing these polished GUIs that, you know, look usable. I know what my web design skills are like, and I won't comment for others on the team, but I'm better in C than trying to make something look pretty. So and usable in, you know, user interface terms. So I'm very glad to see that, and to hope that that becomes a viable way that people can admin Samba 4. We just don't have internally the bandwidth to do SWAT, and that gives us another reason not to try to really waste time on that when other people are doing a better job on the same on interfaces we already have to support anyway. So it leverages that very well. Passy microphone. Just watch out, you're standing on the speaker, that's gonna...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Does the majority of Samba 3 actually slow down the development speed of Samba 4 to some degree?
So you're asking, if I could press gang the Samba 3 development team into doing, being my minions and doing whatever I want, would I be able to progress Samba 4 faster? I think the answer would have to be yes, although begrudging developers are never very useful. So I'm not going to try and say that people should be doing this or that. You know, I love it when people work on Samba 4 because they want to work on it, because they see that there's benefit to the code, that we've done useful things, and that we've got a better way of doing some of these things. But I can't demand that other people spend time on it. I can only hope that we provide enough of a compelling case that we are really are moving forward, despite our limited numbers, that we are producing real software that is genuinely useful and genuinely needed by our user community. Active Directory has sat on its own as being the only thing that can work in these networks for too long. So I have, you know, very much passion for Samba 4, but I really can't sort of go and say that how other people should spend their development time other than to try and provide the best environment that we can.
Okay, maybe a second question in the same direction. Well, that was your answer was covering the developers' point of view. What about the users? So it appears to me that lots of users are quite satisfied with Samba 3, and lots of people are actually using this. So what has to be done to help migrating those people trying out Samba 4?
I think that to try it, you know, we can do some more work on things like migration tools and things, but I don't think we're quite at the stage where people are needing so their whole domain migrated across with automatic scripts. It's more that we need to support those users like any other user in setting it up. We pride ourselves on having a very easy provision script, so that setting up a Samba 4 server really is, it used to be a couple of clicks of a GUI, that's gone now, but it really is running a couple of scripts. And you have your Samba 4 domain, you put it in the zone file, and you start it up, and it's there. Even if you do it at LDAP backend, there's only a couple more steps, despite the massive extra complexity of that setup in the traditional Samba 3 space. So that's how we've been trying to make it easier for our users to try out Samba 4. So I'd be interested in hearing from Samba 3 users who feel that we have impediments that are stopping them trying out Samba 4. Be it missing features. Whenever I go to an event like this, I hear from people I won't name who complain that, you know, Samba 4 needs this critical feature. You know, it's their pet gripe of the day. But I really need to know from a lot of people what the features that Samba 4 doesn't have that they perhaps they exist in Samba 3 that they need. And from that, we'll be able to make those migrations easier. We'll be able to meet those demands. And hopefully we can provide things that just aren't possible in other code bases. SMB2 support, Active Directory support. These things are not easily just sort of switched on elsewhere, and we've been doing a lot of work in that. Does that sort of answer your question? I think I'll make a good politician. I suspect I didn't, but anyway. other questions? Deathly silent. Well, I'd like to ask some questions of the room. Who here would actually like to use Samba 4? Okay, so we've got a little less than half the room.
Apt-get install.
hopefully soon we'll have it in Debian packages. But what do you see as the things that are stopping you using Samba 4? Those people who put their hand up. Clearly you're not already using it yet. I haven't heard from all of you. What are the things that, is it just lack of time, interest? We haven't stamped that final release on it. What is it that's stopping you giving it a try or finding out about it?
Open up that
back end. Dan Shear is saying, open, you know, perhaps, is that a question, a statement?
You've been putting a lot of work into OpenL that back end. I suspect that might make it more attractive to a lot of people. Got any words on that?
Certainly the OpenL that back end, which I'll be talking about next time, in the next slot, if you dare to hang around, that's something that we're hoping will provide us with replication as we get, so we can have two servers talking to each, rather than just having SAMA 4 as only one not replicated system. So that's something, there's a reason we've been working very hard on that. Any other comments? All just waiting for us to turn out a gold-plated release and sort of drop it in your lap? That sounds like a yes. I was very pleased to... where's that mic go? I was very pleased to turn up on the first day on Monday here and to meet with our new developers from Postpath, who've been assigned by their company to sort of make SAMBA 4 turn into something real for them. And we need more of that from other people who'd like SAMBA 4 to push on. More hands will push this forward. We'll get there in the end, but the more help we get, the more we can make it useful to your environments that you particularly need. And if we get that feedback, if we get that help, then we can push SAMBA 4 to the places that everyone wants it to be in. Well, thank you.